Nevada Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2 on Bellevue, Houston.
Beasley switching in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in everybody to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Coming on the heels of Fred and AJ. And I appreciate them putting out our guests on the program tonight. Fred dropping them and then some impromptu comedy from AJ. Loved it. Doing a Rocky slash soccer piece, which I was at home laughing and listening to that. I wanted to hear Gem of the Day, though. You know, I love when he does Gem of the Day. Aaron Raybould behind the glass as usual. Aaron, what's the nickname they call you? What did Fred call? I heard Fred give you a nickname, and I wanted to. What is your nickname?
Usually calls me Voldemort.
Voldemort. Okay, from
the Harry Potter folklore.
Why does he call you? Because you're like one of the nicest guys on the planet.
It's a long story. Back when I was working at another radio station, I was still getting to do stuff over here, like go on road shows to Sam Houston Race Park, and when we would go out to bars. But one of the conditions was that I couldn't have my name said on air. So every time they introduced me, they couldn't say my name on air, because if my boss had found out at my other radio station, they would have fired me easily.
Oh, that's awesome. So you're Voldemort.
Yep.
Yeah, because you just kind of appeared at times. So like when you'd come in to do work, there'd be a swirling of a black cloud, and then Aaron Raybould, the producer extraordinaire, would pop up. All right. Just want to remind people, the show's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Whatever type of accident you get in, of course, we don't want to get in accidents, but you do need representation. You're nervous. It might be a fender bender. You name it. You work in a refinery, drive an 18-wheeler. John and his firm, they're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. It's DaspitLaw.com. So you call John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They will take care of you. They will take your case. And they get soccer on the airwaves. And I loved what Fred said there. You know what? You like these shows. You got to support the sponsors. And that's what makes the world go round. You support the sponsors. It keeps us all on the air, and it keeps everything moving. 713-322-HURT is the number, and they are bilingual, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. All right, the lead story going into this one, we're going to talk about this tonight. And I want to get you on the phone, and I want you to talk to me as well, the listener. 713-780-3776. How much pain are you in now that the U.S. under-23s have not qualified for the Olympics? We get knocked out. It's the third straight men's Olympics that we will not be going to on the soccer side. We lose to Honduras 2-1. Never look comfortable in the tournament. Now, I know everybody's bagging on this tonight, but I'm going to pick out things that could potentially be solutions to turn this thing around and to discuss these points. But I want to know, does this hurt? 713-780-3776. U.S. soccer fan, that we are not going to the Olympics on the men's side. And by the way, you can watch the women in the Olympics. They're going to be there again. 713-780-3776. So I'll ask you, Aaron. I know you're not watching soccer 24/7. But you did play youth soccer growing up. You're fully aware of the impact of the game globally and here in the United States. Does it disappoint you that the United States is not going to field a team in the Olympics and got eliminated in CONCACAF qualifying?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a disappointment. I mean, you expect, you know, this country is so used to being number one, it's a little unfair to bring up the dream team, but all the time, these big sports, even on Olympic stage, we don't win every gold medal. We don't dominate every year, every time. But top five usually is what the exception or is what the expectation is for the U.S. because we do, I mean, as a whole, have the best athletes in the world. We have the best money and resources, the best nutritionists, the best, you know, training partners, all that. There's no reason that the men's national team shouldn't be able to get in and at least qualify for the dang thing.
Yeah, we're out of it. You go back to 2000 in Sydney, and Austin FC Josh Wolf, their head coach, was on the Olympic team. They ended up in fourth place on the men's side. That's back in 2000. Now, you think of all the investment that's been made in player development in Major League Soccer. Honestly, this is not a good look with an all-MLS team not getting in, because it's not a referendum by any means, and it is sort of cherry-picking. But as much as you wanted to say these were all players developed and with links to academies in Major League Soccer, they failed. We failed. And I don't think it's a referendum on MLS. I'm not sure it's a referendum on the state of soccer in this country. What I do think is that some things could be done differently. The hunger and desire from the Hondurans to get to the Olympics, to get noticed, to get out of their country, off the charts, right? And don't forget, 2012, they were in the London Olympics. And guys like Boniac Garcia and Minor Figueroa were on that team. And they beat Spain in that. All right. We will take phone calls again on this. 713-780-3776. Let's go to Cody. Cody wants to talk. What's up, Cody? Cody, you there? Okay, we just lost Cody. So Cody's not there. Fred just texted me and he said they should use the model of USA Junior Hockey. We've gone from afterthoughts to one of the best in the world. Yeah, that's interesting. I'd have to look into that model, but I don't think it's because we didn't have the right players. Look, there were playing on the same weekend six guys that could have played for the under-23s. Listen to these names. Serginho Dest, Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna, Josh Sargent, Anthony Robinson, and Yunus Musah. Now, you tell me, if Pulisic, Reyna, and a couple of these guys were on the on this team, that they wouldn't have qualified? So now you have to say, why didn't we use some of those players to help this team qualify? You got to be questioning Jason Kreis, 713-780-3776. He's the coach. They did not look fluid. They did not look confident throughout this tournament. They looked nervous. Tim Howard came out, the former U.S. goalkeeper, and said the players haven't been in pressure situations like this. It's a fair point. Now, who's accountable? Got to go to U.S. soccer, right? Ernie Stewart, Brian McBride. Jason Kreis was hired, and I'm a big fan of Jason Kreis. I mean, he is a... He made himself into a tremendous soccer player, a pro, one of the best in MLS history. But he's come off two jobs where he hasn't been successful with New York City FC and Orlando. Another big one is the international schedule. We are not on the international schedule. So as you're trying to navigate this tournament with this group of players who are MLS-based, they're trying to get game fit. And they're playing against players that are in season. By the way, Honduras played two internationals, friendlies. Minor Figueroa played in both games against Belarus and Greece, by the way. But Honduras' full national team did not have any under-23 players. Every under-23 player eligible to get them through qualifying and get them to the Olympics was there. Now, were we a little arrogant thinking that this roster was easily going to get us through? Then we get into what Tim Howard and Alexi Lalas got into, and that was dealing with sporting directors around the world, which is a whole nother ballgame. And getting players released to play in things like this. And that's a very tricky piece of business. because you have to pick and choose. I think the U.S. thought this roster was going to get him through. It's talented enough. But this was never going to be an easy game against Honduras. By the way, Honduras goes all the time to the Olympics. It's three or four in a row for them. The hunger and the desire from the Honduran players to get there again and to get noticed, to change their lives. I'm not sure the U.S. players felt that. And they're very talented. Now, let's get down to just focusing on the tournament. The U.S. never played well. They never looked comfortable. So you can go to coaches. You can go to not being in season. You can find anything that you want to fit your agenda as to why you don't think the U.S. qualified. You didn't like the roster. Eric Williamson should have been there. Jeremy Obobese should have been there. I didn't like the way Pereira and Jackson Ewell were playing. They should have been flip-flopped. Yeah. There's a ton of things you can bring out. You can talk about the big picture, or you can talk about simply just the tournament. The tournament was not good. For me, I mean, they had, when Hassani Dotson came on, a couple of decent minutes against the Dominican Republic. But outside of that, they should have lost the Costa Rica game, if not for David Ochoa. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Jose. Jose wants to talk. Hi, Jose.
Hey, how you doing, man? Long-time listener, and I love your show. Usually after work, I try to stay on so I catch it. And to me, I think I've been following the U.S. with this new generation. And, I mean, I preach so much to my friends. I'm like, you know, come the World Cup 2022, 2026, all these kids, all this talent that they have, they put them together, they could really, really, like, shock the world. I mean, they have so much talent in Europe under 23. And for them to just use it for friendlies, I think was a waste of talent, a waste of what could have done. I think if they would have gone to the Olympics, they would have been a force to be reckoned with, because the talent is there. They're really good individually. And imagine putting them together, it would have been something else, something to see, to be honest, for me.
Well, you know, why not use them to get you to qualify for the Olympics? Then you figure the rest of it out with their teams, because a lot of their teams are going to dig their heels in, and they're going to say, look, we don't want you pulling our players away to go to an Olympics, an under-23 tournament, while we have a huge season to prepare for. The Juventuses, the Dortmunds, the Chelseas, these big clubs that a lot of these guys are playing on, the Barcelona, Sergiño Dest. So, you know, then you figure that out and you see who you can take. It's to me, it's very disappointing. And you know what? 2026 is great. Why aren't we shooting to do something in Qatar? I get the 2026 thing. It's in the U.S., but I think the bar should be raised with these guys, and I'm sure they have that bar raised to do something in Qatar or Qatar or whatever.
Yeah, I honestly think that. I mean, like I said, there's so much talent there. They're all playing a very good team, and they're playing good European leagues. They're like in top contending teams. They're always playing for the championships. So I'm just like, you know, come 2022, 2026, these kids are going to be there on playing toe-to-toe with some of the best teams in the world. But right now it was their chance to prove, like, yeah, we belong in a bigger stage. And I just feel they missed the opportunity to just showcase all that talent that the U.S. is building and that they have. Because honestly, I feel like the way they're going, if they just, all that talent is put to good use, Mexico should be a little concerned, because, like, you know, they are going to eventually get over that hump. And they have gotten over the hump in World Cups. I mean, Mexico has never made it to the fifth game, and the U.S. have gone further. So it's just one of those things that, like,
yeah, but Mexico's won a gold medal, and Mexico came into this tournament playing the best soccer out of anybody in CONCACAF, bar none. The one thing that never goes away from them, you know, it's Mexico when they're playing. I mean, just the valuation of the ball and just the way that they play. And Mexico did have some guys that were Olympic age with the full national team, because they beat Costa Rica today. Guys like Arteaga, Efraín Álvarez, César Montes, Edson Álvarez. Those guys are with the full national team, but you know they've got a bunch of guys that are in season. The other thing that's very stunning to me is that Atlanta United didn't release a couple of their players, including Miles Robinson. That's stunning to me because that's Carlos Bocanegra, who's the sporting director, who's been a national team, you know, icon, went into the Hall of Fame with the U.S. Sure. national team, but for some reason didn't want to work with this roster. So again, these are, you know, nobody talk about this if the U.S. qualified, but this, all these things get brought up in this situation, and I think it's good. But Jose, thank you so much for the phone call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You have a wonderful evening. Keep listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the program. We appreciate it. So there's Jose. Man, there's so much to talk about on this. I'm just shaking my head here. You know, the other thing you miss when you don't go to an Olympics, call me crazy. But guess what? You have an opportunity to influence mainstream if you go on a great run in it. And by the way, 2002 at the World Cup. Did anybody know Landon Donovan then? Globally? Did they know DeMarcus Beasley? Think about that. So don't, when it comes to Qatar in the next World Cup, I'm not doing this is the tune-up for 2026. You know? These young guys are making this national team their own. All right, speaking of the national team, when we come back, it's a chance to catch up with Marcelo Balboa, a former TV partner of mine on HDNet, more importantly, Hall of Famer, U.S. national team player, played in World Cups. Marcelo is the Colorado Rapids analyst, and he's also doing a lot of work in the Rapids Academy. So we're going to talk some of the Olympic issues with him. Quick word here for BMW. I've leased and bought from Advantage BMW Midtown. I got an X5. Absolutely love it. Drove it to New Jersey. But the customer service down at Advantage BMW Midtown, off the charts. Look, they'll take you through sales. You'll go into service, finance. It's done easy. Get a sedan, 3, 5, 7 series. Advantage BMW Midtown. Go down there and say hello to Justin and Steven. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters. We're back in a moment.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I'm Greg Berhalter. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
Couple results today in the European World Cup qualifying. Turkey 3-3 with Latvia. That was after Turkey took 6 points in their first two games, including beating the Netherlands. Wales beat the Czech Republic 1-0. Belgium, an 8-0 win over... who did they play? Belgium scored 8 goals against Belarus. Poor Belarus. So, Norway 1-0 over Montenegro. So a couple of results there. Slovakia 2-1 over Russia. All right, the next guest is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. By the way, John and his firm, Personal Injury Attorneys, also last night, they're the sponsor of our show in Austin, DaspitLawAustin.com. So John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm getting soccer on the air. We appreciate their being the presenting sponsor of this show, and it enables me to have guests like the next guy. He's a Hall of Famer. He's played in multiple World Cups for the United States. He's taking time out right now from working with some of the Colorado Rapids youth players, and he is the analyst for the Rapids. And 6 years at HDNet, Marcelo Balboa joins us now. Marcelo, how are you?
I'm good. Glenn, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, buddy. I was just wondering, what happened to the HDNet tapes? You know, it's like a famous musician. All those games we called, where are those tapes? Who's got them? What vault are they in? Does Cuban archived, have them? Man. Who's got them?
They're archived, man. They're archived. They're in a special vault because they were special back then.
I mean, how good was that stuff? Seriously, how good was that run?
Groundbreaking at the time, wasn't it?
It was until everybody caught up. I remember when some of the players finally were getting it, and they were just going, this is unbelievable. You know, we can see beads of sweat on people's faces.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, we had fun. We did a lot of games in San Jose. I remember, you know, you and I were talking earlier today when Troy Dyack would come out with the duster on and the cowboy hat, and I thought it was a Clint Eastwood movie at the Spartan Stadium.
Oh, love Troy Dyack.
I
remember him in his first national team game with us. He came out, I think we were playing Russia in Minnesota, I believe it was, and he was barking at their players. And I'm like, what the heck is this kid doing? He was
You mean like
barking.
A dog?
Yes, like a dog.
He's a legend. I'll tell you what, he's a really interesting guy. He's got a huge farm and built soccer fields, has been really heavily involved in youth soccer like yourself. So, he's one of the great characters of Major League Soccer and a very solid defender as well. All right, so I want to take you right into Marcelo as a former U.S. national team member. Just how painful and how disappointing, and how do we position this lack of getting to the Olympics here after being eliminated by Honduras at the under 23 level?
Glenn, you know what? Just frustrating, because when you look at that roster, you know, people kept on saying, and after it was done, you keep listening and you were reading a lot of stuff and, oh, we didn't have this, we didn't have that. Listen, to me, that roster was talented enough to get to the Olympics. Bottom line, that's the end of it right there. They didn't need Weston. They didn't need those guys. They could have used them, but they didn't need them to qualify. So that's one. Number two, I think when you look at what happened, it's frustrating. And it's frustrating because you know why? Because we had the coach. The coach was sitting right in our hands. He was right there, and that was Tab Ramos. Tab got this team, the under-20s. He knew the players. He qualified for three consecutive under-20 World Cups. He knows what it takes to qualify in CONCACAF at the youth level. And we moved on from Tab. Tab, fortunate enough, got to Houston. Then we took, and whoever made that decision, I think, has to be held accountable. Because, listen, Jason Christ struggled at NYCFC. Jason Christ struggled at Orlando. And whoever decided that was the choice to take this team through, I mean, the track record itself shows that maybe that wasn't the right choice. And it's easy afterward. But I can tell you this, I've been saying this before the Olympics, that you need a coach who knows and understands what it takes to qualify. And CONCACAF, it's not easy. It's not easy. And I know you're in Mexico, but still, it's not easy because you have to know how to prepare a team for a tournament like that. And I think we looked past the Olympics. I think we looked at, we were playing Honduras, that it was, oh, we should win this, and we'll face Mexico in the next round. And there's the other hiccup we had. One World Cup, we don't qualify. Now a third Olympic, we don't qualify. Not a great time for U.S. soccer on the men's side.
All right, so I want to take you back to Tab and U.S. soccer. I mean, was that because Tab wanted to move on, or because U.S. soccer just wasn't wise enough to keep a man that had taking teams into the quarterfinals of the under-20 World Cup? I mean, his knowledge of this base of players is off the charts. And, of course, he's got Omid Namazi. I mean, he's got it rolling. He knows these players.
Listen, that's a great question for Tab. I don't know that question, but I'd have a hard time thinking that if they went to Tab and they offered him the under-23 to help this team get into the Olympics, which we haven't done in a while, I have a hard time believing that Tab would have turned it down. So, but that's a great question for Tab, because, again, for me, it's decisions we make. And I think when we get to decisions, we got to stop making decisions and looking at, okay, this is a guy I've known for a long time. He could get the job done. Nah, it's got to be the guy that can get the job done. U.S. soccer in the men's side has struggled. And now we put ourselves even deeper in a hole, Glenn, and I'll tell you why. Because we didn't qualify for the Olympics. We didn't qualify for the World Cup, the last World Cup. Now we've got two more major tournaments coming up, and that's Nations League, and that's Gold Cup. What happens, and I'll ask you, what happens if U.S. soccer does not win either one of those tournaments? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're getting at. You're talking about removal of a coach, which I don't think happens
in
this country.
I'm not saying you have to remove anybody. I'm saying, what do you do? Because you're a month and a half away, if that, from a World Cup qualifier, and you can't have a hiccup this time. You cannot have a hiccup in World Cup qualifiers.
I would just go back and say
and the Federation.
Right. Yeah, I would just go back and say it all depends on how the team plays in these tournaments. I mean, you know, I don't think anybody says you have to win them both. but you should be trying to win them both. I don't know. What would, I mean, would you remove a coach if you didn't win both those tournaments?
Listen, again, I think it's too close. I think it's too close to qualifying to start making such a big change.
Right.
But that puts a lot of pressure now, especially when you're hearing rumors of two different teams, one for Nations League and one for Gold Cup. So, again, this put a lot more pressure on U.S. soccer and the U.S. national team.
All right, so let me ask you this, Marcelo. Did we make a mistake here? I know you're saying that's a good enough team to qualify, and I hear all the different things that are coming in, and we can grab any bit of – we can focus on anything we want. We can say, well, we're not on a world schedule, so that's – you know, we can talk about the coach. We can talk about the players. But was it a mistake not to – to pull some of these guys, the guys like Dest, Pulisic, Reyna, Sargent, Robinson, Musa, who all played for the senior national team, was it a mistake not to pull a few of those guys in? Hey, make sure we qualify. Let's play it totally safe and respectful, and then we figure out who is our roster that goes then to the Olympic Games.
Yeah, I know throughout the last few Olympics, getting some of the bigger name players has been very difficult to get from their club teams because it's a long time to go through qualifying. I believe it's almost 3 weeks to go away from your club team. So I get that. I do. But, again, this roster was good enough to qualify. They've got quality players. My thing is teams, and you know this, Glenn, teams take on the personality of the coach. If the coach is laid back, the team's laid back. If the coach is fired up and is a very energetic, very passionate guy, the team plays like that. So I think this team took the personality of the coach, and it was more laid back. It was more relaxed. And again, it's a shame because we put ourselves in another big hole. There's no way that we should not be in the Olympics. This was going to be a preparation leading into qualifiers, getting these players that experience, getting them even more game times at a high level.
No, no
and
question
again,
about it.
Another
big pressure. Pressure situations. Also, it's another opportunity to grow the game in mainstream media because if they go on a good run, a lot of great things can happen. Remember the 2002 team with Donovan and Beasley in the World Cup, what that did for soccer. I want to take you back to something that's weird to me, though. Atlanta United didn't release three players. Now, with the way U.S. soccer and MLS is woven in together, they're in this together. What's strange to me is Carlos Bocanegra, who I'm a big fan of, is the sporting director. And guys like Miles Robinson not available, that was a weird one to me.
I don't know.
I thought it was all for one and one for all.
It should be. It should be. We all represent our country. We've all played there. We know the importance of how important this qualifying for the Olympics was. But it's tough to say because I don't know all the details of what happened in Atlanta. Did they not feel he was healthy enough to go? You know what I mean? I don't know that the details there. So I would hope that they were protecting the players because there were some sort of injuries. That's why they were not listed and brought in to qualifying.
Yeah, well, if that's the truth, how come we didn't hear that? Because I haven't really heard that because, you know, that's a distinct possibility. I'm sure there's a lot of things behind the scenes we don't know, but why wouldn't somebody come out and say that unless I missed it?
And so that's what I'm saying. I didn't see it, so it's tough to comment on something I don't know about. But usually when a team doesn't release a player, especially an MLS player, it's due to some sort of setback in his progression coming back from an injury or something. So that's what I would think, and that's in the back of my mind what I thought.
Okay, the guys we're talking about are Miles Robinson, George Bello, and Brooks Lennon. Jason Christ said on Monday he thought the two sides had reached a solution. This was prior to the tournament. During the weekend, but that Atlanta United decided the players weren't going to be available. A person with knowledge of the situation said Atlanta United told the USSF during the weekend the players weren't going to be made available for the qualifying tournament, citing medical concerns regarding COVID protocols ahead of the match.
So, there you go.
Yeah,
there
COVID. So that sounds... Yeah, well, I mean, that's just very strange to me.
No. I respect everybody. Listen, I respect the player's decision. If it was something to do with COVID, totally respect that. So,
yep. Christ said he respected the club's decision. Not having Robinson was a huge loss. So COVID. Yeah. So solutions. And, you know, I know everybody's banging the drum and, you know, it's not a referendum on where we are. So what are some of the solutions? I mean, simply you could say get on the international calendar so that you're not trying to get fit while you're competing and qualifying, despite who the competition is. You mentioned better relationships with clubs around the world and sporting directors, right?
Yep.
Selection process for a coach. Now,
it's tough.
Now, who picks the coach? Is it Ernie Stewart and Brian McBride who picked the coach?
I don't know if it. I don't know who picked the coach. They never really came out and said it. So I don't know. But again, the solution is you've got basically 2.5 years, 3 years to figure it out. Now you've got to figure out what the right coach is. Guy that knows CONCACAF, a guy that knows and works with young players and knows the system. Because again, listen, qualifying. It isn't just going to like World Cup qualifiers. It isn't just getting your team ready. It's getting them ready for the environment. It's getting them ready for the hostile environment. It's getting them ready for fields that aren't what they're used to playing on. You know what I mean? It's a lot of different variables that you have to get your team ready for. And I don't think, looking at that team, they did not look ready for that game. They looked very, they had their chances. Don't get me wrong. They had the chances. But again, listen, we're all going to make mistakes. This is the beauty of our game. We're going to make mistakes. But to say in a press conference that their mentality wasn't right, doesn't that start with the coach? Doesn't their mentality, their mindset start with the coach of getting them ready for that game? So listen, everybody's responsible. I'm not saying the players aren't responsible.
We're not here pointing fingers. We're just trying to come up with solutions and dive deeper into this.
Yeah. Listen, I like Jason Kreis. I've known him. I've talked to him a long time. I'm not saying you're this, but I'm saying when you look at characteristics of what you're looking for an Olympic team, you had it right there. For me, it was the easiest decision U.S. Soccer could have ever made. Tab under 20s, Amid is assistant coach. They've had a great run with all the teams they've had. Give it to them. Let them take this group that knows what qualifying's about. And they moved in a different direction. And it's a shame. It really is a shame.
Now, you alluded to that you think sometimes in this country it's more about who you know type things and a bit of nepotism. And, of course, that's in everything. I don't think there's any question. That's in business.
Yeah.
That's in life. That's everywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of these things are very big mistakes. And why can't this be tied into Major League Soccer's and academies now, this failure?
Yeah.
Because all these guys came from, you know, remember this tournament was starting. Hey, RSL, we got 5 guys here. You know, and that's great.
Yep.
No question.
Yep.
No question. But, you know, you just can't have the icing on the cake. When there's a failure, then somebody's accountable.
Well, I agree. I think we've discussed this. It's finding out who made that decision, why that decision was made, and again, what are the repercussions? What are the repercussions? Because, listen, I've heard people say, oh, it's just the Olympics. I'm sorry. It's just the Olympics. Messi played in the Olympics and won a gold medal. Mexico's won a gold medal. Brazil, Germany, they've all been there, and they take it serious. So the Olympics are important, and especially for a country who is bouncing back off a not qualifying for the Russia World Cup. Every tournament you play in is important. And that's another tournament that we missed.
Yeah, this would have been a great momentum grab ahead of the U.S. national team getting into World Cup qualifying.
Right, imagine qualifying for the Olympics, and now you can take an Adams, a Weston McKennie. You can take a Pulisic. Imagine the experience they're getting in a huge tournament like that, getting ready to go into FIFA qualifying and getting into, hopefully, if things go well, into a World Cup for those young kids.
Jello, great stuff. Let me let you get back to coaching. We could have taken this another segment or two. We'll get you back on the show because I do want to talk to you about a couple of things, including Argentine barbecue and also your work with the Rapids in the MLS Academy stuff. So thank you for coming on tonight. We much appreciate it.
You got it, brother.
All right, that's Marcelo Balboa. He's a Hall of Famer. World Cup I mean, these are legitimate questions. Nobody's trying to assassinate anybody's character here. And again, this is part of the problem, that we don't have these types of discussions and we don't go deeper on accountability and the things. There's always like this veil of secrecy about everything we do in soccer in this country. I don't know why. This is Aerosmith, No More, No More. Quick break here. Brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Huge thank you to John and his firm. They're personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler. John and his firm. Get them on board. They'll work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Get that representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Also, a big shout-out to our friends down at Advantage BMW Midtown. When we come back, we're going to pick the brain of Houston Dynamo coach Todd Ramos.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hello, people. This is Alexi Lawless, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Each and every week, we get tremendous interviews with the Dynamo head coach, Todd Ramos. It's all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com here in Houston, our presenting sponsors. And he joins us now. Tab, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Always good to have you on. You're coming off a nice preseason match with Louisville FC and John Hackworth, former Dynamo Danny Cruz. What'd you get out of that game?
A lot, actually, because I really felt like Louisville was gonna be the game that would be closest to an MLS team. You know, I think they have good players, they have a good team. You know, they play a good transition game, and so I felt like it was a good first measuring stick for us. And I think for being the first test this early on, I feel like we passed that test.
Todd Ramos, Houston Dynamo. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, we'll play the Austin Bowl. That game is open to the public. And then it's on the weekend, Austin FC. So you'll get that MLS competition soon. Some subtle things maybe you saw out of the Louisville game that you could share with us.
Well, I think the fact that we're getting a little bit more and more organized with our middle press. I think we're doing that fairly well. And we're becoming a really dangerous team. You know, teams that can only, you know, it only takes us two or three passes to get right in front of goal now. And that's something that we certainly didn't have last year.
That want and desire, you know, I've heard you repeatedly and very consistently talking about, you know, wanting passes that break lines. I've heard you at games shouting at players to take people on. I mean, this all is very similar to you as a player. I mean, you want to get forward this year. You want to be entertaining and you want to turn teams around. That's the understanding I'm getting.
Yeah, there's no question. I think the balance has been in, you know, how can we do that? And at the same time, you know, not give up much in the back. And I think that, you know, that's been the one area that, as you know, we try to improve the most in the off season. And I feel like at this point, you know, we've gone through, you know, three preseason games in which we have not given up a goal. Not that that necessarily in itself means a lot, because there's ways of not giving up goals and there's ways of not giving up goals. But I think we're not giving up chances. And I think opponents are having a tough time getting chances against us. And I think that's much different than what we had going on last year.
So I know it's still early and I know you're still assessing and implementing your tactics and working on these things daily. I think sometimes all of us outside of the internal workings of a team forget how much work is going in and how much consistency and messaging and things when it comes to implementing a system. But it's been interesting to see Derek Jones in that position. You had him with on the under-20 national team for your time there, where he was very effective under you. And it is a nice thing to kind of see him rooted there for large occasions next to the new signing, Tim Parker.
Yeah, well, I tell you, you know, Derek can be a big presence in there. And he's, you know, he's sort of an ongoing, you know, project. He needs to get better. He needs to improve every day. I think he came here with an open mind in terms of, you know, knowing how much he's going to have to work to earn playing time. And I think he's doing it. And I think, you know, when he's on the field, you know, last couple games we played, he has been making a big difference in their in ball recovery, and he's good at it. And on top of it, he has good feet. You know, he can win balls in the air. He's a presence in the box on both sides. So I think there's a lot of upside with Derek, considering, you know, he just turned 24. So I think he's a, you know, we're getting him at a good moment.
Tab, is he the kind of guy that can grow into an even bigger leader, you know, kind of long-term, if you're thinking a year or two down the road?
I'm expecting that. You know, this is why we brought him. You know, I thought we managed the draft really well this year in order to be able to pick him up and still get a good center back. So I think we did that well, but it was for a reason. It's because we think that he can give us a lot down the road. But I think, you know, we need to have some of those dividends start to pay as soon as possible.
Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo head coach, joining us here. We'll talk about the schedule a little bit before this interview is over. Tab, you just said we're expecting that. And I loved how just clean and fresh that answer was. It wasn't filled with a lot of rhetoric or maybe hopeful. Are those the kind of conversations that you get the best response out with players? You know, really just being very, very clear and setting a bar on what your expectations as a coach are?
You know, I've always been very honest with players, Glenn, and, you know, 99% of them take it the right way. And sometimes some players don't. But I think, you know, you can't really beat around the bush. You know, you have to get to the point, and you have to tell them exactly what you want. And none of what you want requires any less work than your maximum effort. So it really starts there. I think I can always work with players who can give maximum effort. And I think I think our squad this year is full of guys who can't wait to get it on the field to give maximum effort.
Tab Ramos joining us here ahead of tomorrow's 1 o'clock game against the Austin Bold again. That was a good preseason match for you as well. You have had some minor injuries in the center back position that's prevented you from playing guys like Fuenmayor and Bartlow. Minor Figueroa away on duty with Honduras. Sam Yonkwa has been playing in some of these games. Maybe some thoughts on him as a center back.
Well, we prepared Sam to potentially be a backup center back from the off season already. So it's not a surprise. We had already done video with him, preparing him coming into preseason, thinking that if something went wrong in the back, being that he's a lefty and he's very athletic, he's fast, he's good in the air, I think he can do well in that position. And so he just kind of fell right into it. He's doing a pretty good job for now. We're happy with what we've seen. I mean, it's unfortunate that at this point we're down three center backs right now, and that's not the norm. But the guys are doing well, and Sam is doing well for himself in that position.
Joe Corona coming back, finally getting some minutes. That must have been something very pleasing to you.
Yeah, I'm happy for Joe because he's had a little bit of an up and down, preseason in which we thought he was almost there. And then, you know, we had a couple of really small setbacks. We're being really careful with him in terms of the minutes we've been giving him. But we are certainly expecting for Joe to play a big part of this season for us. And so we're taking it a little bit at a time.
All right. With players like Joe Corona and Tim Parker and Maxi Arruti, added to the roster now. I mean, it's obvious you see the difference in how your implementation of tactics is kind of raised a little bit simply because of the quality of some of these guys. Is that a fair thing to say?
I mean,
without being disrespectful to anyone?
No, I mean, it's always about the players, right? I mean, your tactics all of a sudden start looking a little better, you know, when the players come in and they buy into what you're doing and they're good players and they're hard workers and all that stuff. I mean, it's really not me, you know, it's really them that are doing, they're doing a great job on the field. And that's making the team look good.
Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo coach, joining us. You know, one thing that I was really impressed with, not that it matters if I'm impressed or not, but last year you really stuck to laying the foundation of, look, this is the way we're going to play in the future. Sure, you had to alter it at times due to things, but you really stuck to that. You could have done a lot of things and just, you know, said, everybody sit back in your own half on our 18, and this is the way we're going to play the rest of the year. But it really seems like you sent a message last year that, look, this is the way we're playing. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair. And I think, You know, when I came to Houston, I came with an idea of how I wanted to play. And I think if because of results only, I would have changed everything that I believe in, I don't think Houston would have gotten the coach that I think I am. And so whether that means I'm a good coach or not, that I don't know. But I do know that I have a way. And I felt like I should stick to my way. I should respect the quality of the players that we have and try to put them in the best situation to succeed within the system that we have. And I think we did that. And I felt like had we changed that in the middle, then you start losing the trust of everybody, because then everybody starts to think, hey, you know, depending on what happens, you know, things are going to change. And no, I want to win this weekend, but I also want this weekend to be part of building into the future. And that's kind of how we did it last year. You know, unfortunately we didn't get results at times. Sometimes we were not good and sometimes we were unlucky, you know, like it didn't work out, but I think that we've started to build something, and I think that that's clear.
This weekend, the kind of preseason tournament called La Copita starts. You get to play Austin FC. I would assume you're excited now to measure this team against MLS-type competition.
Yeah, I think now it's a matter of getting our team minutes against better competition, exactly what you said, because although we haven't given up too many chances, we also have not had to play against, you know, front lines like, you know, like Austin would have or like Dallas will have. So, you know, how we are remains to be seen, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of corrections after Saturday's game at Austin.
All right, you got a power-packed staff, and you added Martin Vazquez to it. Of course, Omid Namazi, a long time, you and him tied at the hip, the two Pauls as well. I'm probably missing somebody. I hope I'm not, and if I do, I apologize. But I know the staff goes deeper than those guys. But just tell me a little bit about the staff and how preseason's gone, and then how do you maybe divvy up kind of the scouting type of stuff, because these are ever-changing teams in MLS. They may not look the same as last year in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, especially when you come from a situation like I was in at U.S. Soccer where you don't have a lot of resources, it's hard to all of a sudden come to a professional club and realize that you have all these other responsibilities, and inevitably you're going to have to you can't micromanage. You have to make people responsible for certain areas. So I feel really lucky that I have, you know, I have Omid here and I have Martin here, because I feel like if I'm not around and something needs to get done, they will do it the same or better than I would do it. And that goes for whether it's scouting, whether it's running sessions, whether it's putting together sessions, whether it's planning the periodization of how our game model is going to come together. You know, I think these are great people to have around. And so, yeah, we split responsibilities because otherwise it's too much for any one person. But I'm really happy that I have these guys here. I feel lucky that I have them.
Does your phone sometimes ring at 11 o'clock and one of your assistants says, hey, I have an idea, I want to talk to you, or vice versa? Does that ever happen?
For sure it happens. You know, they're both very creative. They're both always thinking about how we can make the team better. And yeah, I feel really lucky about that.
Yeah. How do you do that in a game like we have? That does sometimes trend in certain directions based on successes of teams and individuals and the modernization of the sport. But there still is all this room to be highly creative within that context, right?
There is. You know, unfortunately, you know, we're in a results-oriented world. That's where we are, you know, in the professional game. And sometimes people can do it in a simple way, and sometimes people can make it extremely complicated. You know, you talk to some coaches and you're like, wow, you know, they really, you know, the way they see their game model goes through so many different steps that it seems like so complicated. And then you see, you know, coaches like Tata Martino, who's, you know, training sessions, a lot of the time they're 8v8s and 9v9s and very simple stuff. So, you know, no one's right or wrong. Everybody has their own different way. But I think this is a great part of coaching. You know, it never ends. There's always something different to do, something new, something you can implement. You can get more juice out of some player somehow in a different position. So it's exciting. And when you surround yourself with people who are constantly thinking about that, I mean, our conversations are just endless. Sometimes we just have to say, okay, we got to turn out the lights and get out of here. Yeah. You know, because we're here all the time.
Yeah. I've talked to some coaches after the second sentence. They lost me. I was like, I'm out. I can't follow you anymore. But and I mean that in a fair way. What's the part you like the most? Tactics, man management? Is there anything specifically that you really maybe enjoy a little bit more than the other?
I mean, I like seeing the end product. I like when the team plays well. I like when we create a play from the middle of the field or from the back that requires a bunch of passes that high speed that end up in a far post run, you know, in a tap in, you know, like I live for those moments, you know. Unfortunately, obviously, you know, the important part is the results, and that's what you have to get. But what makes me really happy is when the team plays well.
And the fruition of what you do during the work, you see it, you know, just evolve before your eyes on game day.
Well, and it's the because at the end of the day, it's the interpretation of the players. Of, you know, it's how the players interpret your message. And if they're happy doing it, and if you see they're buying in because they're enjoying it and they're successful with it, then that's your satisfaction as a coach.
Tab, when we look at the schedule, boy, you got some serious games right away. Obviously, the opener against San Jose, then it's Portland, LAFC, FC Dallas, Sporting Kansas City. On one hand, maybe it's daunting. On the other hand, it's super exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last year we had that same type of schedule where we ended up playing Kansas City four times and we played Minnesota three or four times, and we ended up having a really tough schedule that way. You know what? I mean, it does no good to worry about that. We have to worry about our team, prepare for every game. One thing I do know is that in MLS, you're capable of winning any one game. And so we have to take one at a time. And right now we can only focus on San Jose.
Last one before I let you go, because the preseason games that I've seen, it seems like the ball's just really getting off people's feet quickly. I hear you urging that. I hear your staff urging that. Do you feel like this team, the speed of play angle of it, is going to be a little bit faster this year based on acquisitions and kind of where you are right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think this team resembles a little bit more what we wanted to see from the beginning. You know, we're starting to add some pieces that I think really fit into how we want to play. And so we need to improve a lot still. You know, we're not there. We're by far not there. But there's a lot of good things that are being done right now that we're happy about.
Tab, thanks as always for taking the time out to join us here. The listeners appreciate it. I certainly do. And good luck tomorrow in the preseason game. And as the season keeps getting closer and closer, we get more excited. So thanks for your time as always.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it. All right.
That's Tab Ramos, head coach of the Houston Dynamo. We'll take a break here. It's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Onward and upward with Soccer Matters.
ESPN 97.5.